Nun Dalad Amud Aleph. We saw yesterday a machloikus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon with regard to how we view the series of Tarat. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's all one mitzvah. According to Rabbanon, it's three separate mitzvahs. And we saw at the end of the Gemara that there is actually a very practical difference between the two. And that is concerning the gap between the various sounds. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to ensure that basically there's no gap at all. There has to be some minimum gap. Remember we said yesterday, if you make a brocha, brocha to Hashem and Kedem Melech Olam, of course it's one brocha with several words, but it's not one long word. There's no word called Baruch Ato. It's Baruch Ato Hashem, separate words. So Rabbi Yehuda maintains that these kolos also are for sure separate, but Rashi explains there just has to be the minimum of a minimum gap, what we called yesterday, remember what we called it? Kedei Neshima, just enough to breathe, not more than that. According to the Rabbanon, however, that they're three separate mitzvahs, they are, however, a series. So Rashi told us, although you can have a gap, you can't have too large a gap, but you certainly can have a gap which is larger than Kedei Neshima. Third opinion was Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said that if you blow the nine kolos over the course of 9 hours, all day long it takes you, no problem at all. Those are the three opinions. We saw yesterday that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanon both derive their respective positions from different psukim. Each one answers up the other pasuk. So I think we're ready now to move on. Says the Gemara, Daf Nun, Dalet, Amud Aleph, we're on the fourth line. Erev, Shabbos, Shabbatei Chag. V'chulu. Now remember we've said in the past that whenever you have a title and the Gemara throws in the word v'chulu, what it really means is that we're not actually concentrating on the words mentioned, but rather on the continuation. V'chulu means etc. Means etc. So what was the etc.? So we saw in the Mishnah, if you remember, that on Erev Shabbos, on Sukkos, there are 48 kolos altogether. How did we get to 48? So let's just briefly recap. We have the 21, 9 and 9 and 3, which is every day, whatever day it was. Plus 9 because it was Musaf, because it's Yom Tov, that takes you up to 30. Plus 6 because it's Erev Shabbos, that's 36. Where do we get the other 12 from? So the other 12 were to do with the Nisuch HaMaim and the Arova. Shar HaElyoin, Shar HaTachtoin, Milu Yamaim, and the Arava on the Mizbeach. That's 4 times 3 is 12, 36 plus 12 is 48. That's how we got to 48. Now, what we're going to concentrate for a moment or two is the procession took us from the Shar HaElyoin into the Shar HaTachtoin. Let's just briefly recap. Have a look. It was in the last perek, actually. Was it this perek? Sorry. Nun Aleph Amud Beis. It says that they used to stand there 15 steps, it says towards the top of the Mishnah, fifth line there, from the Ezras Yisrael to the Ezras Noshim, Keneged the 15 Shir HaMaalos in Tehillim, which we discussed last week. Then it says, two Kohenim stood on the Shar HaElyoin. Korah HaGever Toku V'Riu V'Toku. They got to the Maila HaAsiris, the 10th step. Remember we had a discussion where that's 10 steps from the top or the bottom. And again, Toku V'Riu V'Toku, that's Terat. Higu La'azara. And once again, Toku V'Riu V'Toku. And they kept on blowing, it says, Ad Shemagin HaShar HaYotzi. Mimizrach. So what is clearly omitted in our Mishnah is what? Is the Shmaylo HaSiris, the 10th step. When you get to the 10th step, it clearly says in that Mishnah that they would blow. Tzarat, and for some reason it's missed out. So too in the Mishlach, Mem Hei Amud Aleph, with regard to the mitzvah of Arava. We look at that Mem Hei Amud Aleph. It says, a mitzvah Arava Ketzad. It says on the fourth or fifth line of the Mishnah, they used to put the Arava on the Mizbeach, Toku Veheriu Vetoku, they blew. So that is mentioned in our Mishnah, and so is the Shaar HaElyon, and so is the Shaar HaTachtein. For some strange reason, we don't yet know why, the Maila HaAsiris, when they got to the 10th step, that's missed out. And that's going to be the Gemara's discussion. If you would add in the Maila HaAsiris, the 10th step, then you'd have another 3. That would take us to 51, but it doesn't say that. It says 48. Says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, Ve'ilu Lemaila HaAsiris Leiktoni. For some reason, the 10th step is not mentioned. Why is the 10th step not mentioned? That would give us an extra 3. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Mani. Our Mishnah must be the opinion of who? Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. So apparently this issue of the 10th step... Oh, this is for me?
Yeah.
Oh, Shkeich. Thank you very much. So apparently this issue of the 10th step is not clear-cut and is apparently subject to discussion. So let's have a look at the discussion. The Tanya, it says, Sholosh Lamaila Asiris. It says you blow 3 on the Milo Asiris. That's one opinion, and in fact, that's the opinion that was mentioned in the Mishnah we quoted before. But Rebbe Lezer ben Yaakov Oimer, Sholosh al Gabe Mizbeach. So you see that what? It's either or. Nobody holds that you blow Tirat on the Milo HaAsiris and also when you put the Arava on the Mizbeach. As the Gemara now spells out, the Gemara says, Ha'oimer, the opinion that says La Milo HaAsiris, Einoi Oimer Al Gaba Mizbeach. V'ha'oimer Al Gaba Mizbeach, Einoi Oimer La Milo HaAsiris. So we've answered the Mishnah. If you want to know why our Mishnah only mentions the Mizbeach and not the Milo Asiris, the answer is because it's either or. And it's in fact a machloikus. So let's give them some names. The Tanakama, who we'll call the Chachomim, they indeed hold that you blow 3 on the Milo HaAsiris. And that was the opinion of the previous Mishnah. But the opinion of this Mishnah is in fact Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov. What does Rebbe Eliezer ben Yaakov hold? That you blow 3 Al Gaba Mizbeach and not the Milo Asiris. It's not in addition to, it's instead of. Says Rashi, Einoi Oimer Al Gaba Mizbeach. What does that mean, Einoi Al Gaba Mizbeach? In other words, he does not hold Shehoyu Toikin, that they used to blow, Le Gaba Mizbeach at the Mizbeach. Rather, on the Milo Asiris. Now, where does this all come from? What is the discussion? Says the Gemara, Mai, Taimer, Rebbe Eliezer, Ben Yaakov. What is the reason behind Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov? Why did Rebbe Eliezer Ben Yaakov maintain that what? You blow on the Mizbeach and not on the 10th step. So he explains, Kiv and the Toka. Lepsichas Shaorim Lemailo, given to talk about Psichas Shaorim. Remember what we said as they went through each gate, the Shaar HaElyon, the Shaar HaTachtoin, they blew. So I understand that you're blowing when you open the gates because that is a station. That's a stopping point. But lemailo asiris lomoli detoka. Why on earth would you blow there? Hi, there, lav sharhu. It's not a gate. I understand that you have to blow at various stages of the procession. When you get to different stations, different stopping points. So the Shara Elyoin is a station. The Shara Tachtoin is a station. You get to the Mizbeach, as the Gemara continues, Hilkoch, Al Gabah Mizbeach, Odif. Therefore, it makes much more sense that you should blow where? Al Gabah Mizbeach. That's certainly a stopping point. So you blow the beginning, you blow the middle, you blow the end. At each station in the course of the procession. But the Milo Asiris, that's not a shah. There's no gate there. Nothing really happened there. Nothing happened there. So why on earth would you blow? Now we'll soon see that Rashi seems to have had a slightly different girsa. But we'll see in a moment. Says the Gemara, V'rabbonon sovri. What do the Rabbonon hold? Again, it doesn't say sovar. It says sovri, plural. They hold that what? Kiven de toka le milui hamayim. Seeing as they blew, let's just translate for the moment, for the filling of the water, al gabe hamizbeach lomoli. So why would you blow again for the pouring when you get to the Mizbeach? Hilkoch lemaila ho'asiris odif. Therefore, to the contrary, it's preferable to blow at the Milo Asiris. That's a bit vague at the moment. Not entirely clear. Let's have a look at Rashi. Rashi seems to have had a little different girsa. And as he hints to it, again, what do you see in Rashi? The first word, Hey Gimel. Hachi Gersim. We said yesterday, whenever there's a Hey Gimel, it means Rashi's pointing out to a possible alternative text. And that's why Rashi needs to tell you that no, this indeed is in fact the correct text. What is the correct text? So he says, Hachi Gersim. Legabe hamizbeach lomo li detoka. This is a quote from the Rabbonon. And the Rabbonon say that what? Why would you blow on the Mizbeach? Hotokalei lemilui hamayim. Which is not exactly the same girsa as our Gemara. Our Gemara put it the other way around, but basically it comes to the same. If you've already blown for milui hamayim, why would you blow on the Mizbeach? Now, what exactly is the question? Says Rashi. Kol tkiyos halolu. All of these tkiyos, shel shar ha'elyoin, v'hatachtoin, v'shar hamayim, all of those are mishum milui hamayim. They're all for the purpose of milui hamayim. Remember, what does it say in the Mishnah? You blow at shar ha'elyoin, you blow at shar ha'tachtoin, and you blow at milui hamayim, which Rashi explained means the shar hamayim. So everything now is geared to the procession of the filling of the water, the Shiva Samayim. Again, says Rashi, Kol tkiyos halolu, all of these tkiyos, shal shar ha'elyoin, number one, v'hatachtoin, number two, v'shar hamayim, number three, all of those is mishum milui hamayim. It's all for the process of milui hamayim. Who? Hilkoch la'arova loma li tkiya. Remember Rashi said, if you look at Rashi in the Mizbeach, on Rashi in the Mishnah, on the fifth line, look at Rashi back on the Mishnah, Nun Gimel Amud Beis, at the bottom. The last line of Rashi says, Shalosh l'gaba Mizbeach, k'shezoikfin esu arova. When they put the arava on the Mizbeach. So now let's come back to our Rashi. Because, this is the opinion of the Rav Rabbonon, because we are blowing with regard to Milui Hamayim. So what is it exactly that requires the Tkiyos, the Tarat, Milui Hamayim? Shar Elyoin, number one. Shar HaTachtoin, number two. Shar Hamayim, number three. So therefore when you get to Zveach, that's the Arava, what's that got to do with Milui Hamayim? Hilkoch la'arava lomoli tkiya. So therefore, when it's you're now dealing with the arava, what do you need tkiya for? Ha'kol hani tkiyos dumusofin b'chag. Why are we blowing at all? We saw this earlier. Why do we blow? Blowing always denotes the union of simcha. The simcha goes with the mayim. Simchas beis ha'shoiva. So all or kol hanit kiyas dumusafin b'chag, all these additional tkiyas on the chag, which chag? Sukkos, einon elomishum, are only because of quote unquote v'sha'avtem mayim besosein, which is a quote from a pasuk, and we saw this early on in the Gemara. You draw the water besosein. Sosein means with joy, and that's why you display that joy by blowing the tkiyas terat. If that's the case, where should you be blowing? Anything related to simcha, that's part of the process of Milui Hamayim. Meaning, everybody agrees that what? That the number 48 is correct. And that was given fact. There was no debate about that. But when you're trying to calculate what is it that the 48 comprise? So this particular opinion says, why in the world would you blow in the Arava? Why would you blow for the Milui Hamayim? That I understand. The filling of the water is absolutely associated with Simcha, and in turn, therefore, Tekiyos Tarat. But what's it got to do with Arava? Hilko, says Rashi, therefore, Hoyil v'gemiri. Since we have learned cheshbon hatkiyos b'chag, seeing as we have learned that the calculation of the additional tkiyos of sukkos are what? Shnayim asar. 12. Remember the 12? In addition to the 36. Comma. Therefore, l'mayla ho asiris Odif leme'evat. Therefore, it would be preferable to blow where? At some stage, at some particular part of the Milui Hamayim procession. So everybody agrees that in addition to the 36, that's the 21 plus the 9 of the Musaf is 30 plus the 6 of Erev Shabbos is 36. Everybody agrees there's 36 basic, there's plus 12. How do you get to the plus 12? So the opinion of the Rabbanon is very simple. Ushavtem mayim besosein. That is the underlying theme of their opinion. We've got to blow in relation and association with simcha. Arava is nothing to do with simcha. Mayim is. So therefore you've got the shara elyon, the shara tachtein, the shara hamayim, but we need another one. So we'll make up, as it were, another particular juncture at the mayla ho asiris. The muchacha milsa, because the matter is apparent. If I blow at the Milui Hamayim, it's muchach, it is evident, shehein mishum Milui Hamayim. If you blow terat on the Milui Hamayim, I don't think there's much room for doubt as to why you're blowing. You might ask, why on the 10th step, why not on the 9th? Beseder. But everybody understands it's muchach that it's associated with the mayim, because that's what we're doing. The muchacha milsa, it's the evidence, the matter is evident, shehein mishum Milui Hamayim, shetoikea lekulon, because those are all the tekiyos al dvar hamilui, with regard to this matter of filling water, kaseda. Umaylo asiris, so why dafka the 10th step? Mishum de mokoim mesuyim ba'almahu. What does mokoim mesuyim mean? It's a definitive place. If we need to add three tekiyos somewhere, and you're going to come up with a number, So which number are you going to come up with? We're not going to say 9 or 11 or 4. Go with 10. 10 is always considered a stopping point. 10 is a definitive number. It's a nice round number. Because that is absolutely a mokoim masuyim, a clearly demarked place, definitive place, later to know, heichon, where, toikin oisom. This is very easy to remember. I think if the tkiyas would have been on the 13th step, we would have had difficulty remembering it. But if it's on the 10th step, fine. So we're not saying that there's actually anything unique about the 10th step more than the 9th or the 11th. But it's just a mokoim masuyim, it's a stopping point.
It's interesting because of the fact that the Shar HaElyon and Mala series are so close together.
Yeah, yeah.
As opposed to Shar Tachar, which is
yeah, miles the other side.
That you figure that maybe that they would have some maybe at the bottom of the steps.
Yeah, but there's no mokoim masuyim. I mean, why not at the end of the steps? Okay. Yeah. Good point. Okay, so we understand, therefore, we're going to miss the rest of Rashi. Because Rashi brings a whole alternative pshat, which he disagrees with. But either way, so how's Rashi learning the Gemara? According to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what does he say? He says, I understand very well. Why on earth would you blow on the 10th step? Nothing happened there. You're not opening a gate. You didn't do anything. You're just moving forward. You move forward in many places. What's significant about that? Therefore, it makes more sense to blow where? Hakavim Mizbeach. Turn around the Rabbanon and they say, I'm sorry, what happened on the Mizbeach? The Arava, what's that got to do with Simcha? The whole reason why we're blowing is because of the aspect of Simcha. As the Pasuk says, Ushaf Tamayim Besosim. So I agree with you, there's got to be 12. I'm going to have to come up with another juncture. Fine, I've got one, the 10th step. What's so magical about the 10th step? Nothing in particular. But at least it's a definitive stopping point. 10 is a nice round number. Says the Gemara, Ki osa Rav Achar bar Chanina, when Rav Achar bar Chanina came along, Midroima, from the south, I see he brought Masnisa Biyodi. He brought the following Braisa in his hand. He was the one who exposed to the world or discovered this Braisa. It says as follows. Ubnei Aharon HaKoyanim Yitku'u B'chatzotzreis. It says the children of Aaron, the Koyanim, should blow the Chatzotzreis. That is a quote from a pasuk in Parshas Bahalo Yischa. Now, She'ein Talmud Loima Yitku, quote unquote. Why do you need that word Yitku? Shekvar Nemar. It is already written in the Torah just prior to that posuk, Utakatem, and you should blow Bachatzoitzrois al Oiloi Seichem, Vaal Zivche Shalmeichem. When do you blow? When it comes to the Korban Oilo, when it's the Zvochim, the Shlomim. Uma Talmud Loima, what is it coming to teach you? Yisku. Look at Rashi, immediately. She'ein Talmud Loima Yisku. Surely we do not need to state the word Yisku. Elo, rather, what should it say? Three words, quote unquote. Ubnei Aharon b'chatzotzreis. The children of Aharon b'chatzotzreis. It doesn't need to say the word will blow. Why not?
It already says it
in the previous pasuk. It already says they shall blow on the oilos and zivche shall mechem. So how should it have continued? And the Bnei Aharon on the trumpets. What will they do on the trumpets? Obviously blow. That's the subject matter. We already mentioned that in the previous pasuk. So we seem to have an extra word in the pasuk, and if there's an extra word, there surely must be a drosha, which is derived from that extra word. So ma Talmud loima, what is it coming to teach us? Yisku'u, quote unquote. Says the Gemara, this is the Braisa that Rav Acha discovered, Hakoil Lefi Hamusofin Toikin Hu Toikin. Four words. Hakoil Lefi Hamusofin Toikin. Cryptic? Should be. How do I know it should be? Because look at Rashi.
Rashi says all over.
Rashi says, yeah. Our favorite Rashi, Hakoil Lefi Hamusofin Toikin, Mefarish V'Ozil. We will continue to explain. So yes, you're probably scratching your hairs, wondering, a little bit cryptic. Hakoil Lefi Hamusofin Toikin. We blow in accordance with the Musofin. What does that mean? Vague. So we understand that needs to structure. We have an extra word in the Pasuk. What's the extra word? Yitku. Why is it extra? It says in the previous Pasuk. It says already, Utkatim b'chatzeisris. So if I have an extra word, I have every license to make a drosha. What is the drosha? At the moment, we're not sure. We know the words, we just don't know the meaning. Hakoil, lafi, hamusofin, tekinlo. Now, this is the braisa that Rav Acha discovered. So he came from the south, whatever that means, and he arrives with his braisa in hand. But the braisa, unfortunately, is rather vague, because nobody knows what it means. Says the Gemara, guess who explained it to us? Rav Acha himself. Hu Tani La Vehu Omar La. He's the one who stated it, and he's the one who explained it. And what did he say? Loima. This comes to teach us. Shetoikin al kol musaf umusaf. Do you know what those words meant? When it says, Hakoil lefi hamusafin toikin, it means you blow the tkiyos, the tirat, for every individual musaf. What does that mean now? Now we look in Rashi. It says Rashi, hu toni lo, Rav Acha, de toni lo, comma, Rav Acha, who's the one who initially presented us with his braisa, hu omar lo, he's the one who also told us the meaning behind the braisa, which is, says Rashi, loimar shetoikin v'chulu. Hu hayom farish lo. So he explained that the braisa means as follows. Demai, what does it mean, quote unquote, hakoil lefi hamusofin? What did that phrase mean, the komrin on that we said? Do you know what it means, hakoil lefi hamusofin? Shetoikin al kol musaf umusaf. You blow separately for each musaf, because sometimes there are more than one. I.e., yoim sheyesh boi shtei kedushois. On a day where there were two separate reasons for kedusha, i.e., kegoin, Shabbos v'yom tov. Shabbos requires musaf. How do I know that? We have a tefillas musaf every Shabbos. But Yom Tov also requires a musaf. We have musaf on Yom Tov, even if it's not Shabbos, and Shabbos even if it's not Yom Tov. When they coincide, how many musafin do you have to bring? Two, because it's shtei kedushas, totally unrelated. Kegoin Shabbos v'Yom Tov, v'tzorich shnei musafin. And you need two musafin. Why two? One for Shabbos, one for Yom Tov. Do you know all these prizes coming to Mechadosh to me? Toikin lechol musaf. You've got to blow for each separate musaf. She'oimrim le musaf Shabbos. Shir shel Shabbos. When you get firstly to the musaf of Shabbos, you say the shir, the singing. V'toikin teishat kiyos, and you will blow nine. Remember the Mishnah says there's nine. What does nine mean, by the way? Three threes. At which point? L'shloisha prokim. At three particular junctures of the korban. So you don't just blow one after another. You blow terat at some later stage of the hakrovas hakorban. You blow another three and then a final three. Then you're done with the musaf shal Shabbos. Ula musaf yom tev. And then you get to the second musaf once again. all over again. Now you do the Shir Shel Yom Tov. The Yom Tov had a special tune, the Toikin Testkius. So apparently, without the Pasuk, what would we have said? If I wouldn't have had this extra Pasuk Yitku, apparently what would we have been excused for thinking?
Blow once.
You just blow nine tekiyos for all of today's karbonos. Comes along Rav Acha from the south, and he said, I have a braisa which is a bit cryptic, and it says, Hakoil Lafi Musafin. Now we can finally translate those words. What does it mean, Hakoil Lafi Musafin? Lafi Musafin, according to the number of Musafin, that will dictate how often you have to blow.
Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, that we're going to get to in a second. Great. So therefore, if there are two kedushos, I won't have nine, I'll have 18. And presumably, if you have three kedushos, you have 27. And you have four, you have 36, etc., etc., etc. So Rav Acha is the one who stated the braisa. Rav Acha is the one who explained the braisa. So we're in good shape now. Now we know exactly what it means. Now we need to make some calculations. You have to keep your wits about you because we're going to get a little bit cheshbendik. We're going to make calculations now. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Erev Shabbos Shabbatoich Hachag Hoyu Shom Mem Ches, quote unquote. There were 48, and we already discussed a number of times how we get to that number. Ve'im Isa. If it's really true, if what's really true?
You blow separately.
That you blow separately for each Musaf, as Rav Acha just explained to us. Then 1 second. Listeni. Why can't you state in the Mishnah, Shabbos, Shabbatoich HaChag, tell me Shabbos during Sukkot, do you know what you'll get to then? 51. Mishkachas lo, you will find Chamishin V'chad, 51. How'd you get to 51? Says Rashi. V'im Isa, if it is true, the token al kol musaf, then listni Shabbos Shabbatoich HaChag. That's why this question is being asked now, because it's directly related to what we just said. We just said the name of Rav Acha. He quoted a braisa and then explained it, that every single musaf requires an extra nine. So you wouldn't have 48, you'd have 51. Now, Rashi doesn't even bother explaining to us where the extra three are coming from. So obviously, it must be obvious. And it is obvious. Why is it obvious?
We're talking Shabbos here, not Erev Shabbos.
So we've lost
six.
Six. Why have we lost six?
Erev Shabbos.
Because not Erev Shabbos. But we're adding
nine.
Simple as that. Why are we adding nine?
Another Musaf.
Because there's two Musaf in today. One for Sukkot, one for Shabbos. So I've got four Korbonis. Tomid Shel Shachar. Tomid Shel Bein Arba'in, that's the 18 that they had every day. You've got a Musaf Shel Shabbos, a Musaf Shel Sukkot, that's 4 times 9 is 36. Not forgetting, of course, the first three that they did every morning, Psichas HaSha'arim, opening the gates, that's now 39, plus the 12 you had every day of Sukkot. We already established he had 12 on Sukkot. Mili Hamayim, or the Arava, Lamailu Asiris, whatever it was, we had 12. 39 and 12 is 51.
Great question.
So we've lost six, we've gained nine. So if we widen the Mishnah, I've got a case of 51.
Didn't we learn earlier in the Mishnah basically say that we didn't do Milu Amayim on Shabbos? We did it Erev Shabbos and then it was good.
Yeah, but the procession was done on Shabbos. They didn't do the actual drawing of the Mayim, that's true.
So they still went through the
right, okay, right. So it's still take it from the Shahr Elyon, Shahr HaTachton, Shahr HaMayim, etc., etc. So I've got my 4 times 9 is 36 for 4 Korbonos. 3 for the opening of the gates is 39, plus 12 for the Milu HaMayim, 39 and 12 is 51. Now, of course, this question is absolutely based on what we just said before. Because without Rav Acha's Chiddush, what would we say?
We just need nine.
You just have nine for the collective Musafin. The additional Korbonos of the day require nine. You have a Tomid Shal Shachar, Tomid Shal Bein Arbaim, and Musaf, there's the collective Musaf, even though there happen to be two of them. Fine, that's true. But according to Rav Acha, at least the way Rav Acha interpreted the Braisa, that Akoy Lefiya Musafin means what? And every Musa requires a separate nine. So we've just discovered nine extra Tkiyas. We might well have lost six, but we've gained nine. So there's an extra three. So it's 48 and 3, so it's 51. So why did the Mishnah tell it to me? Why did you tell me that it's never less than 21? Never more than 48? It's not true, I can get to 58. Says the Gemara, no. Omer Abzeira, Lafi, Sha'ein, Toikin, Lepsichas, Sha'orim, B'Shabbos. We lost six. We gained nine, but we lost another three. So it's quits. Why did we lose three?
Because we don't blow it to open the gates.
Why not? Says Rashi, the last narrow lines. She'einon toikin, she'ein toikin a psicha sarshon b'shabbos, she'einon lemitzvah. So lemitzvah.
It says choyom though. It says the choyom.
They did it every day, but it's not a mitzvah in the Torah. She'eino lemitzvah ketkiyos shel korban. When it comes to the korban, the Torah clearly stipulates dechsid bekra. We just said the pasuk. What did we say? Utkatem b'chatzoytzrois al oiloi seichem. And therefore, if the Torah specifically states that as a mitzvah, then it's got to be done even if it's on Shabbos. But opening the gates, which gates? Presumably all of them. Aval Hanoch leSimona Ninhu. But the other ones, when you open the gates, it's just a simon. What does a simon mean? It's a rallying call. It's just an announcement. Okay, everybody, please be alert. We're about to get going. Simona Ninhu sheYishmu, that everybody should hear. VeYavoyu leMa'amodam, everybody should come to their position. Uluduchonom, and their platform, Veloi Dochi Shabbos. But they would not push off Shabbos. They would not push off Shabbos because not a mitzvah as such, it's just a means to an end to rally the troops to get everybody there. Hilkoch. Therefore, we have to knock how many off the list?
Three.
A further three. And therefore, Hodar, once again, Havaluhu Memches. We're back to 48. Fine. So far, so good. However, Rava is deeply disturbed about this. Omar Rava, Man ho deloichosh lekimcha. A very bizarre phrase. Which you do find in other places. Says Rashi, first wide line. Man ho. Who's this? De Toritz Hochi. Who gave this answer? I'm very sorry, says Rava, deloichosh lekimcha. Literally translated, he wasn't concerned with his flour. F-L-O-U-R. Toichein u'moitzi subin. Imagine grinding and getting all of the subin, which is the psoilis, the waste. Ve'eino choshesh, and wouldn't care less. Can you imagine somebody grinding, he's just grinding and grinding, and he doesn't actually take out the garbage, doesn't take out the psoilis. So what did he mean by this metaphoric statement? Says Rashi, Kloimar. What he really means is Marba Dvarim She'inom. He is increasing words, he's talking things which are She'inom, which is simply not true. He's grinding and grinding and talking and talking and talking. There's all this psoilis, there's all this garbage. It's just not true. I'm unhappy with his teretz, is a more polite way perhaps of stating it.
Pretty sharp.
Very sharp. The Ibn Ezra al HaTorah is known on occasions to be very, very sharp. Very, very sharp. One of his sharpest comments, quite incredible thing to say, is it says in the Pasuk in Parshas Vayetze, Ve'eineho Ve'ene Leo Rakus. The eyes of Leah were soft. We have the famous comment because she's cried, because she's worried she's going to marry Esau. The Eben Ezra quotes somebody called Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim says, the way I understand this word Rakus, Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Choser Aleph. There's an Aleph missing from this word, and instead of Rakus, you know what it should say? Arukus. Doesn't mean her eyes were soft. Arukos, they were long. Chaser Aleph. So the Eben Ezra responds back to Rabbeinu Ephraim, and he says, I say in response that Rabbeinu Ephraim is Chaser Aleph. He's missing an Aleph. What was you take the word letter Aleph from Ephraim, what you left? Porim. Cows. That's what he writes. Ani Omer Shehu Chaser Aleph. Many Gedolim Yisrael were known to be very, very sharp in their times. The Rogachov Rov, the Rogachov Goyim, was in Dvinsk together with the Rameh Simcha just before the war. Very sharp, genius, genius, genius. Somebody once brought him a sefer and asked him for an approbation. And for whatever reason, he couldn't refuse, even though he thought that the sefer was absolutely not worthy of an approbation. Didn't think it deserved the hamlotza, he didn't agree with any of the contents. So he wrote a hamlotza, he wrote a letter of support for the sefer, at the top of the page, and then left an enormous gap, and then signed his name right at the bottom of the page. Nowhere near the text at the top. They asked him, why did you do that? Why didn't you just sign next to the text? He said, no, midvar sheker tirchok. Distance yourself from sheker. And there are thousands of other examples. The Chofetz Chaim actually discusses this in the back of Sefer Shmiras HaLoshon, the Chofetz Chaim. How is it that on occasion they were very, very sharp? One Tana to another, one Amira to another. Quotes it the name of the Chaviz Yoyer, I believe. Either way, Rava is very unhappy with his teretz. The question is a great question. I don't agree with the teretz. Why not? Says the Gemara, Choda, for two reasons. Firstly, b'chol yoim, quote unquote, tanan. What does that mean? The Mishnah clearly said that every single day you did 21. 9 and 9 and 3. So how can you tell me there was no psichas hasha'arim? Tkiyos. On Shabbos, as Rashi explained, is not really a mitzvah. What do you mean by that? The Mishnah clearly says it was b'chol yoim. B'chol yoim. That's one objection. V'oid. Even if you would be right, let's consider that you are right. What did you say? But there's no blowing for the psichas hasha'arim. So how many are you up to? 48. So he says, V'oid. Inami. Even if that is indeed so, that Kahadodi ninu. What does kahadodi mean? That they are the same. Even if you write it's the same as 48. The whole question was, oh, why didn't you say this case? You get to the magic number 51. Even if you're right. Firstly, I disagree with you. Because it says there were every day, so it should be 51. But even in the event that you are indeed correct, that it's exactly the same and you get to the number 48, still, Lisni Shabbos Shabbatecha Chag, it would still be recommendable to write that in the Mishnah. Remember, how do we understand the teretz of the Gemara? When the Gemara said that there's not 51, and really it's only 48, so how did we understand the Gemara's teretz? It's only 48, and therefore what? Again, what was the Gemara's question? The Mishnah says the maximum is 48. The Gemara says, no, it's not. The maximum is 51. When? On Shabbos of Sukkot. What was the Gemara's teretz? No, you have to knock out 3 and you're back down to 48. No, therefore what?
Therefore, substitute the case of of Chag falling on Shabbos into the Mishnah instead of Erev Shabbos?
That was the question. So what was the Moros Teretz? Robert doesn't like the Teretz, but what was the Teretz? We thought we got to 51. No, so what was the answer?
So take off the 3.
Okay, therefore what?
Back down to 48.
And therefore?
And therefore...
So why is it not mentioned in the Mishnah?
The case of the Chag falling on Shabbos. Why is that case not mentioned in the Mishnah instead of Erev Shabbos mentioned?
The Gemara never asked that as a question. The Gemara seemed very satisfied. Before Rava came along, how did you understand the Gemara?
We thought
we could get to 51. So we've got this massive question. Why do you tell me that the maximum is Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, Sukkos? I've got a better case. Okay, what's your better case? Shabbos. Sukkos, not Erev Shabbos. Great question. Why is that a great question? Because you can get to 51. That's the question. What's the answer? No, mistake. You don't get to 51. Why not? Because you're going to knock off 3 from the 51. Therefore, really, what is it? So how does that answer the question? Therefore, what?
There's no contradiction to the Mishnah, which we thought we had.
So why is it not mentioned in the Mishnah then?
That's what we're about to learn.
No, before Rava. I'm asking before Rava. How did you understand the Gemara until Rava? I can't start asking questions if we didn't understand it in the first place. So what is the answer? No, it's really true that the maximum is absolutely
48.
What's the case?
Erev Shabbos.
And on Shabbos?
On Shabbos, you're going to have to take off 3.
But you also get to 48. No, so why is it not mentioned in the Mishnah? So what was the Gemara's answer? We're just going around in a circle. We're doing hakafas around the Mizbeach over here. So what did the Gemara, I don't understand what the Gemara answered. What is the most you can blow in one day?
48.
What's the case?
Erev Shabbos.
Oh. Erev Shabbos. Well, that's the only case?
We've got two. No, he's going to bring in another case.
Who's bringing another case?
Gemara.
Where? We already have. Which case?
Shabbos.
Sukkos. So why was that case not mentioned in the Mishnah? You're right.
We had to take off 3.
And we got back to?
48.
Fine. So we now got two cases of 48. So why is one mentioned and not the other?
Well, how do we know that there are other cases? The Gemara might be broader.
Okay, you're jumping ahead of the Gemara. I don't know any Gemara. I'm just trying to understand line by line. You already learned 20 lines further. What was the Gemara's answer at this stage? The Mishnah said the maximum is 48. What is the case? Erev Shabbos, Sukkos. So the Gemara asked, it's not true. The maximum is actually 51, not Erev Shabbos, but Shabbos itself. What was the Gemara's answer? No. You don't get to 51 even on Shabbos because you've got to knock off 3. So how many are there on Shabbos? 48. So that explains why what? Why is it that in the Mishnah you mentioned which case?
Erev Shabbos.
As opposed to?
Shabbos.
Yeah, how? What's the answer? Before Rava, forget Rava. What's going on over here today? Turn off the heating. I'm asking any trick question. I'm asking Poshet Pshat. How did everybody understand the Gemara here?
Because there wasn't another case. Understanding was there was only one case that fit that 48.
Is that true or is not true?
No, it's not true.
No, we know.
So what was the Moros answer then? What does the Mishnah say? There's one solitary case. It's the absolute max. You get to 48.
Right.
When is that? Erev Shabbos Sukkos. Great. What was the Moros question? I can beat that.
I can give you a case.
I can give you a case of 51. What is that? Shabbos Sukkos, not Erev Shabbos Sukkos.
Yeah.
What was the Gemara's Teretz? No, that's a mistake. You don't get to 51 because you've got to knock off 3. So what do you get to on Shabbos Sukkos? How many were there? 48. So can I please ask a question? When the Mishnah writes that the maximum is 48, when is that?
Either of these cases.
So why does Mishnah only mention one?
It's got nothing to do with
the. The minimum is 21. That's on a regular day. The maximum is 48 when? So if I'd be writing the Mishnah, I'd say either on Erev Shabbos Sukkos or, as it happens, on Shabbos Sukkos. Either way you work it out, you'll get to 48. But for some reason, the Mishnah didn't say that. So how did you understand the Gemara's Teretz? So presumably, the Gemara's Teretz is that what? You're right. We could have, we would have, we should have. But there's no necessity just to pile up the cases. The only necessity to mention Shabbos is when we thought that Shabbos would get you to 51. Oh, then we've got a super duper question. But if you don't get to 51, you merely get to what? 48. Then I don't really matter which case you mention. What the Mishnah said is true. Minimum 21, maximum 48. When is that? So the Mishnah mentioned one example, Erev Shabbos. I could in theory give you another example. That was not Rava's objection. Rava has no problem with that. That makes perfect sense. Do you know what Rava's objection was? Twofold. Number one, he says, if it says kol yoim, what does that seem to indicate?
Every day, you can't take off the three.
So we're back to square one. So how many were there on Shabbos?
50.
So 51. Number two, he says, you know something? Even if you're right, and really there are only
48.
I've still got a reason, says Rava, why I would have thought it's preferable to mention which case? The Shabbos case, as opposed to the Erev Shabbos case. That's going to be Rava's question. And he's going to have to explain why it's preferable. If it's not preferable, then what's the difference? You could say A, you could say B, it all gets you to the same place. But if for some reason, and Rava will explain to us this reason, if for some reason the Shabbos case has an extra inbuilt chiddush in it, then the Mishnah should have said that case to teach me the chiddush. What is the chiddush? That we have to see next time. But that's the introduction to Rava's question. Rava wasn't merely asking, oh, well, if there's two cases, tell me both cases. No, that wasn't the question. The question was, there is something extra special about Shabbos Sukkos. And if you only would have taught me Shabbos Sukkos, I could have learned an additional chiddush. Therefore, says Rava, I disagree with you on two counts. Firstly, it is 51, because it says the three in the morning were every day. And even if you're right that there were not 51 and it was only 48, so what are you telling me? Well, it's all level. It's not true. It's not level. There's an extra chiddush. If I would have been you, I would have put this case in the Mishnah, because you learn a chiddush from it. What's the chiddush? That we have to see next time.
How can you say you have to substitute this case if he said before, I disagree with you, Reb Zaira, it's 51.
Yeah, so he's saying, I disagree on two counts. Firstly, I think you're wrong. But even in your world, I'm not in your world, in my world there are 51. But even in your world that you maintain as 48, you should know you haven't answered the question. I say you haven't answered Erev Shabbos Sukkos. What that chiddush is, Rob is about to explain. Therefore, we're back to square one. You should have mentioned Shabbos Sukkos. Firstly, I would say, why should you have mentioned it? Because that way you'll get to 51. And even according to you, that way you don't get to 51, there still is very good reason to put that in the Mishnah ahead of Erev Shabbos Sukkos. Why? What's so special? That we'll have to see next time.